Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Welcome, welcome. And I'm so glad you are here with us today. We've got a full studio and a full lineup. And I've got Sean Stern in here with us. How you doing, Sean?
I'm doing well.
All right. Are you excited? We've got, we got a lot of people here. Tom Spence, how are you doing, Tom?
Everything's well.
Okay. We are rocking and rolling. And I am so glad that you are spending some of your time here on The Kim Pagano Show. I want to remind you that every Saturday morning from 6 to 7, we show up right there too with the starting your day in a positive way, and then again here at 2 to 3. Again, I want to remind you, we have been giving tons and tons of things away on my Facebook. So The Kim Pagano Show, like it, share it, and you are entered to win some of these great things that we've got going on. Again, all my shows are downloaded on KimPaganoShow.com and iTunes. So if you miss something, you can always listen there. Today, we are going to be talking. Our first guest is Kathleen McIntyre. She is returning with us. And I always love talking to her. But she is a transformational teacher, speaker, and healer. And she is going to be talking about her journey to joy, her book, Inspiring Stories of Women Who Follow Their Hearts to Live in a Space of Joy. And I love that, because what else do we have in this world but to go forward and to live at our highest potential? Then we have joining us, we've got Sue Hitzman, and she is actually returning. I just watched her on Dr. Oz, and her book is The Melt Method, and she is a nationally recognized somatic movement educator and a manual therapist. So if you've got any pain or any kind of problems, she can melt them away with some of these great things that she talks about. Our next guest, if you have been seeing all of the ads and all of the stuff around here, we've got the Comic-Con for Ventura coming out here, and we got Kip. He is one of the artists there, and he is going to be talking with us and telling us a little bit about his fantasy art, and just we're excited. I got tickets to give away. So definitely stay with us with that. And then we've got Kathy Margun. I told you we got a lot of people here in this action-packed hour. Kathy Margolin, and she is the founder of Pacific Herbs and a doctor of Oriental Medicine. And so she is going to talk to us about some of the American adult obese Asian diets, lots of different things that she can add value to our lives. So that's what we do here on The Kim Pagano Show, adding value every day in every way. I do want to give out our phone number, 805-419-0008. That's 805-419-0008. If you have something that you want to spread the word around and you want us to help you with it, give me an email at kim@kimpaganoshow.com. That's kim@kimpaganoshow.com. Or you can always call me again at that number, 805-419-0008. All right, let's get started. Let's welcome Kathleen McIntyre. Kathleen, are you there?
I am. Hi, Kim. It's such a joy to be with you again. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. So we talked a little bit about something before, your amazing cards, and now you wrote a book, and you know, you're kind of, I mean, that's what I feel like my job is, to inspire listeners, inspire people. And that's something you've done through your story. So tell us a little bit about yourself, if you know, this is the first time anybody's just tuning in, or about your book.
Great. Well, the book is Journey to Joy, and it's an anthology of 35 women's stories. It's done by Sue Erda and Kathy Flyer. So they put the whole book together, and I have a chapter. It's called Bringing the Darkness Back into the Light. And it's basically a hero's journey, each woman's hero's journey to finding and living in a space of joy in her life, and what she went through on that hero's journey to get to this place of joy. And did you want me to say a little bit about some of the things I'm doing, or just jump right into that?
Go ahead. Yeah, what are you doing?
Well, we've got Moonbear Sanctuary, a 28-acre retreat center here in Northern California, and we continue to have just cutting-edge workshops, really bringing in the new paradigm on our planet, which I feel is moving basically from the love of power to the power of love, really creating a world of love that works for all life. So that's kind of the umbrella of everything that I do.
Wow. You know, and that is so true. When you come from a space of love as opposed to fear, things just feel so much better. That's the way we want our world to be, correct? Now, how did you get involved in writing this chapter for the Journey to Joy book?
Well, I was contacted, and I was actually in Oaxaca, Mexico for 2 months doing a Spanish immersion. And I had just led a trip to Peru in September with a group of women to sacred sites. And when I came back, well, actually while I was there and at the first fire ceremony, what came out of my mouth was that I surrendered my life to spirit, which I thought I had always been doing anyway. But it was like from that point on, all the things that I thought I had figured out about my life started disappearing. And I just went into this place of really deep listening almost for a whole year, and saying no to anything that wasn't a loud, loud yes. And I think you may remember that I was part of producing a film called Mayan Renaissance that was about Rigoberto Menchú and the Maya people. And there were other things that I'd been doing, and people were approaching me to get involved with other things. But every time I listened, nothing came through. It wasn't a yes or a no, but I made a commitment. I would only do something if I had a loud yes.
Wow. That so resonates with me. I do want to remind anybody that's just tuning in right now that you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. I'm so glad that you are spending part of your day here with us. We're talking with Kathleen McIntyre. You know, I mean, we all go through, especially as a mom. I don't know how it is with, you know, dads and guys, but, and maybe you guys can share, but so many of us, we get asked and pulled in all these different directions. My daughter just got married. I'm so excited. It was like, thank you. And, you know, and then, okay, gosh, it just gets better from here. My older daughter just moved away and moved to Michigan. And then my younger son just got a huge racing deal, and he's moving to Dallas. And so I'm like, oh, my God, what happened? Life is guaranteed to change. And when you have all these different things, even though they might be gone, they still need stuff, and you're pulled in every direction. And how do you, I love that whatever screams the loudest, is that what you're saying?
Well, it's just like from that place of really tuning in to your soul, to the deepest essence of who you are, and not saying yes. Like, what is it? You can, you know, if you don't take a stand for something really big, you'll fall for anything. And it's like there's all these things that grab at our attention. So it's like, what's the thing that's most in resonance with our deepest calling to be here on this planet?
Kathleen, it's Sean Stern. How are you?
Hi, Sean. I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm well. I wanted to just kind of change tracks a little bit. I'm looking at the book, Journey to Joy, and your title, Bringing Darkness Back into Light, just really jumps out at me. Can you explain a little bit what you mean by or what your method was for your own personal journey for going from darkness to light?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, when I first agreed to write a chapter, I thought I was going to be writing about my hero's journey, about really becoming complete with a 22-year marriage. And I made a little reference when I was outlining what I was going to write about. And I made reference to growing up with physical abuse from the time I was 6 months old as a baby. Sexual abuse starting at 2 years old, and verbal abuse throughout my childhood, and being so shy and so shut down that I couldn't even raise my hand and speak all through my years of going to school. And I just made a reference to that because I wanted to show no matter what happens to us, no matter how traumatic or how fearful there's always on the other side a place of love and joy. And then the people that were putting the book together said, no, this is your hero's journey. The other is a subset. Mm-hmm. You have the courage to write this story. And I tuned in, and I was like, yes, I can write this story, especially if it has the ability to touch somebody else's life and make a difference for them moving from fear to love.
And how did you get into the traveling and going down to the South America? Can you tell us a little bit about your experiences journeying down to the Andes and the rainforests and those sorts of things, and how that's kind of influenced you?
Right. Well, probably 7 years ago, I got trained by the Pachamama Alliance to lead trips into Ecuador and into the rainforest, and meeting with shamans and really seeing how the Achuar culture, they're a dream culture. And we come from, like North America, a place of great consumption and materialism. So it's a real awakening to people to go into the rainforest and to experience this. And so I was leading trips there, and then it branched off to taking leading journeys to Guatemala and to Peru.
And do you guide the journey, or are you going there as sort of like a fellow traveler with the people you take?
Probably both. I mean, I have someone on the other end that's from that area that knows all the places, and they take care of all the logistics. But the journeys that I lead are spiritual in nature, so going to sacred sites and really awakening something deep within ourselves.
Wow. Now, so from all of this, what's the most important things that you have learned on your journey?
Well, I would say, the whole thing about the story bringing darkness back into the light is that truly the only thing that's really real is love, and all else is an illusion, but it gets our attention. All the fearful things, we get almost like bound gravitationally to those things, and it's like the key is really loving ourselves, because we're kind of like a hologram, each one of us a part of the whole. So whatever we do to ourselves, we also influence the collective. So by really being able to love ourselves and accept ourselves, I mean truly, like really love ourselves, not just saying that we do or being taught that it's selfish, but when we can really take care and nourish and really bring love into our hearts and our lives, we become happy and joyful and full of love, and that love touches the people around us. So my message is really about love. That love is the most important thing. And can I share a little anecdote of something that happened in Mexico?
Please. And I do want to remind anybody that's just tuning in right now that you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. And we've got a full studio here, Sean, Tom, and myself. And we're talking with Kathleen McIntyre, and her book is Journey to Joy. What is it that you want to share?
Well, it was probably about 3 years ago, I was in Mexico, and I was on the beach. And my son had been visiting. He's now 28, and I don't get to see him very often. It's such a joy whenever we're together. And he had gone back to New York, and it was my last day in Mexico, and I had this incredible angst that was just coming over my body, this sadness, and I didn't know what it was, and I just felt like I needed to touch the sand and the earth. So I got off the lounge chair, and I was lying on the sand and just feeling the warmth of the hot sand, and I started to cry, and I didn't know why I was crying. And then I had this memory of, like, maybe when I was 27 and I'm now 61, this astrologer numerologist in his class saying, oh, there's somebody in the class, you've taken all of our charts, that has something really big to do in the world. And then he starts talking about around the time I was going to be 60 and all this stuff, and it put this weight on my shoulder that I was supposed to do something with my life and to make a difference. But I kept seeing myself through the eyes of the girl that had been abused. And, and the important thing is that because bad things happen to us, it doesn't make us bad. But I was always taking classes to become a better person, a better speaker, a better writer, a better this, a better that. And in that moment on the beach, I realized that everything, all there is love. And there's no such thing as big love or little love. Love can't be measured. And all I needed to ever do was show up in a space of love. And if there was something else that needed to be done, I would be guided by a higher source. But the most important thing was just to totally love and accept myself 100% for how I was, and that the light of who we are can never be corrupted by anything that ever happens to us on this physical plane, that it always shines brightly.
That's a beautiful story. Yeah. Kathleen, how do people get in touch with you if they want to take a trip with you or if they want to contact you?
Great. Thank you so much for asking. My website is Soaring in Light. And that soaring like a bird soars, SOARINGINLIGHT. And I actually have a couple of gifts just for going onto the website. There's the Journey to Joy e-tips by the 35 authors of their just giving you tips of the things that they found for most joy in their life.
Wow, thank you so much. This has been a journey to joy. And I thank you, Catherine. I will have you back again. So
it's always a joy to be with you, Kim. And thank you so much, Sean and Tom. And blessings on the rest of your day and show.
You got it. Thank you so much, Kathleen McIntyre. You are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. We are going to give away some tickets right now. Let's give away two tickets to the Comic-Con. And that is right here in Ventura. And we've got the show hours are Saturday 10 to 8 and then again Sunday 10 to 7. So stay with us. That's September 7th and 8th at the main event. So at Seaside Park. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show.
Looking for a camp, a preschool, an orthodontist? Look no further than ParentClick.com, one-stop shop for families in Ventura County. You'll find everything for every age in the ParentClick directory. Looking for something to do this weekend? Check out our community calendar. How about a place for your teen to volunteer? Read Parent Chatter. Go to ParentClick.com and register for our weekly newsletter. ParentClick.com, the local family scene and city guide for Ventura County.
I'm a lifelong Ventura County resident, and I hate to admit it, but I'm guilty of something, and I'm guilty of being what you call a hair jumper. And what that means is that I'm not really loyal to any one particular barber, stylist, or hair cutter, and that also means my hair doesn't always look as good or as great as it could. Until that is, I met Kim Pagano, the one and only hair therapist of Westlake Village. Now, I wasn't a believer until I got up from her chair and saw the magic she did on this head of hair. And I know she's going to do the same for you. So give her a call, 818-612-0832. That's 818-612-0832. She's going to change your life. She's going to change the life of your hair. And she's going to end your days as a hair jumper. Give Kim Pagano, the hair therapist of Westlake Village, a call. It's 818-612-0832.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses. Or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And gosh, we are full here. And I'm so glad that you are here with us on the Kim Pagano Show. I want to remind you of my morning show, 6 to 7 every Saturday, and then again from 2 to 3. Our next guest is Sue Hitzman, and her book is The Melt Method. Sue, are you there? I saw you on Dr. Oz. Awesome show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hi, Kim. How you doing?
Good. I was like, you know what? I'm getting her back on my show. So anyways, thanks for being here. And gosh, you know, just to let everybody know that you can live pain-free, and Sue is going to talk to us about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's been actually since the last time I talked to you. The book came out in January, and I went out on a book tour and got to melt in 100 different cities across the country. I melted almost 5,000 people across the U.S. and up into Canada. And I got to tell you, the U.S. needs some help. We've got some serious pain problems. I think it's even worse than I thought, but the amount of overweight, diabetic, diseased people that are really taking the call to action to say, geez, I need to empower myself to live a better life, really, I think, you know, people are starting to hear it. People are really looking for more proactive approaches. So I really got to see just so many people experience that transformation right before my eyes. It's been quite an exciting few months since last we spoke.
Well, congratulations. And for anybody that is just joining us right now, you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. We're talking with Sue Hitzman, her book, The Melt Method. And so let's start off. What is MELT?
Well, MELT is a simple self-treatment technique that people can do at home on their own in just minutes a day to learn how to restore the natural balance of their body. MELT basically addresses the missing link to pain-free living, which is connective tissue dehydration. And what's important for people to know is that, you know, connective tissue dehydration is a widespread issue. It occurs to every single person every single day. And what recent science is starting to understand is that the connective tissue is, in fact, an adaptable system, and it reacts to these repetitive postures and habits that we take from day to day. If you never do anything about it, it causes what I call stuck stress to accumulate in this system. And connective tissue is a stability system. So what MELT offers is an ability to restore that fluid system so that it improves the body's natural ability to stay stable and balanced, that improves the body's efficiency, and that makes you walk around feeling really great and certainly pain-free.
Hi, Sue. Sean Stern. How are you?
Hi, Sean. Good.
I have a little background in personal training and fitness myself, and I'm kind of curious, how does MELT differ from, let's say, Pilates, or it sounds even more like a continuum style of exercise? What would you say that separates MELT? Is there more of like a theory behind it, or is it truly a method just like these others, like yoga, Feldenkrais?
No, in fact, you know, MELT would actually be a great add-on technique for those. You know, MELT is actually, my study is in neuromuscular therapy. It's a hands-on self-treatment therapeutic intervention that I do with my hands. And so what I've done is basically simulate those same types of hands-on treatment in a hands-off way. So I developed these soft rollers and balls to teach people how to restore connective tissue hydration. In fact, Pilates and yoga don't restore connective tissue hydration. In fact, they can actually irritate the tissue. They could dehydrate the tissue just as much as any movement can. It doesn't matter if you're sedentary or active. Connective tissue hydration is just a cellular process. So this is really more like as if you were to go to see an acupuncturist, a massage therapist, a Rolfer, and a cranial sacral therapist all on the same day.
Sure.
I've kind of taken all of that background and culminated it into the method.
Now, Sue, I'm looking at your book, and I think that you guys were going to send me some of your stuff that you developed, like the mini softball hand treatment, right? Is it just a little ball, and like the one that you roll on your back, is it just something that's
like
soft?
Like a standard foam roller,
softer?
No, it's actually the hand and foot treatment balls are literally just that. You actually use them on your hands and feet only. They're not for the body at all. They're actually too small. You really wouldn't want to use such a small ball in the regions of the body. Most of the balls that you're seeing for therapeutic intervention on the body, they're a little bit bigger. They're usually the size of a pinky ball or a tennis ball. These are more the size of a super ball and a jack ball. They're real small to create specific techniques. Again, they just simulate what I do with my hands. The roller that I use is a soft roller. Literally, you could bend it from end to end. It's made of a very high-density EVA foam, so it's got that squish instead of those low-density, which have that real hard pressure to them. And those are rollers that are used for something called self-myofascial release. It's a way to restore blood flow to muscle. And so this is a light touch therapeutic technique. It's a much lighter, very easily accessible technique to the general public. Whereas, you know, the balls, although I think that they're wonderful on the body, most people don't know what they're pressing or rubbing on. And so, you know, try to get an overweight or an in-pain body to roll on a couple little balls on the spine, and it's not very easy for them to do. So MELT has more of this relaxation effect to it. The approach is much more gentle and yields some far more lasting results.
Is there a food, and as I'm drinking, sipping my coffee and probably dehydrating myself, is there a food or diet component to MELT?
You know, I don't really advocate any specific diet, but what I will tell you is that certainly if you're eating foods that cause inflammation, to which there are many, you can actually cause more issues in connective tissue. And when it comes to water, I'm going to have to suggest that coffee is not considered the type of water I'd like to drink, even though it is water-based. But you're right, you know, I mean, a little bit of coffee in a day is not a bad idea. In fact, there's lots of things to say that coffee actually could have some good side effects for us. But with water, you know, the thing about water and connective tissue is when connective tissue cells become chronically dehydrated, you could drink all the water you want, and the cells don't absorb the fluid. And it's almost like we've got these cells in these spaces, they're called microvacuoles, they get crushed. And so we literally lose the spaces where fluid is supposed to occupy. So, you know, aside of MELT, if I had to suggest a way to drink or something like that, I would tell people it's not the volume of water that we need to be more mindful of. It's the consistency of water that we really don't, utilize in a day. So you'd be more, it would benefit yourself more if you were to drink a little bit of water, literally sips of water every 15 minutes, just a sip of water all day long, rather than drinking a liter of water in the morning with your pills and then some water at lunch and then some water at dinner. If you drink consistent water intake, you're more apt to stay cellularly hydrated. And again, with foods, water-filled foods, vegetables, fruits, those are always anti-inflammatory type of foods. I would stay away from sugars and gluten and things like that. I wouldn't have high consumptions of foods that cause inflammation.
Now, you know, most of your things that you do in your book are only 10 minutes a day, correct?
Yes, yeah. The great thing about MELT and actually connective tissue in your body is that it's a three-dimensional fluid-based system. And it literally is a mesh-like architecture. It starts at your skin, goes clear down to your bones. So what we're starting to recognize with the cellular adaptation is if you create gentle compression, you go very slow, you actually go deeper and you yield greater effect in the tissue. So what you can do is restore the entire fluid movement of the system throughout your whole body in just 10 minutes a day. And each sequence is there so that some people who perhaps can't put their pelvis up on the roller, maybe their back is killing them, can they still do MELT? Absolutely. They could do the foot treatment and yield some release in their low back. Or if somebody has neck pain, would they be working on the base of their skull? Perhaps over time they would, but you do the hand treatment first. So the MELT Method book really teaches people how to map out how to eliminate the pain in their body. And what is also important for people to know is the areas where you tend to have pain, those are, in my opinion, the victims. Those are the areas that, in fact, are just the areas crying out for your help. But the dehydration could be very far away from the area of pain. So if you had neck pain, it could be caused by dehydration in the arms or in your ribs, and that could be caused by, you know, emotional distress around the heart. It could be back stress from the way you sit at your chair. So don't think that the problems are in the areas of pain. You got to kind of find the criminals. If somebody were crying out for help, you wouldn't punch them in the face. You'd go find the problem.
Yeah,
so
there you go.
We have to stop being so symptom-oriented in how we focus on eradicating pain in our bodies. We have to understand that there's really a criminal in the body or a region of our body that, to me, I could just call it a missing link. It's just understanding how to address it.
Very interesting way of looking at it. I'm looking in your book right now, and it says the shoulder blade reach. I'm a hair therapist, and so I always have, you know, that one pain in the left side of my back up in my shoulders.
Right, right. Like you want somebody to just dig their elbow right in and scratch it out.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. You nailed it. Now, so what, is that the exercise that I would do? lay on one of your...
That would be a great one. That would be a direct approach for something like that. More often than not, when people have that thing right at the inside of their shoulder blade on one side, the shoulder girdle is telling you it's unstable. There's stress under the shoulder girdle. It's not in your back, it's under the blade. And so that would be a great one to do. And that's just the one that you're describing, is literally lying the length of the roller and just reaching the arms up, letting the girdle glide around the rib ball and then allowing it to sink. But if I had that type of issue, I would be working with the hands first. The mat for you would be a hand treatment. Then I would do upper back hydrate, and then I would go back and I would do the rebalance sequence and add that shoulder blade reach to the sequence. And you could do all of that in about 10 minutes. All three of them, once you knew what you were doing, would take you about 10 minutes.
Wow. So it's kind of like referred pain, right?
It's literally areas where you have, if you think of connective tissue as being, in a sense, like layers, if you will, the interface from layer to layer for a lot of people gets crushed or tacked together. So every time you breathe, every time you move your head, it's literally like you're wearing a size 4 t-shirt or like an extra, extra small when you should be wearing a medium or a large. So with every movement that you take, you get all of this tensional pull in the tissue because it's not gliding. And, you know, if you're sitting for long periods of time, you're actually causing that tensional pull on that backside of your body. So, you know, I mean, you got an option. Either you stop sitting all day long, which is like impossible if that's your job, as part of your job is actually sitting. Then, you know, either you quit your job and move to an island or something, or you hydrate your upper back at the end of the day so that the next day you wake up without all that stuck stress accumulating in those regions of your body. It's pretty straightforward and simple, actually, if you think about it that way.
Yeah, I love it. Again, if anybody's just tuning in with us right now, you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. We're talking with Sue Hitzman, her book, The Melt Method. You've like saturated the TV and the radio, and I'm so glad to have you here. How do we find out more about you and get your book and get your all your stuff?
Anybody can go to meltmethod.com. And what I would also suggest is when you go to the website, not only do we have the products and the book available, but we have instructors, literally 800 of them across the U.S., up into Canada, they're all the way into Europe and Israel now, that are actually teaching this technique to people. So there are some people, I think, who can read a book, digest that information, and do it for themselves. And there are other people who really want the interaction. They want to learn how to do it. So if you go to the website, I would type in your zip code under Find Melt and just see if by chance there is an instructor near you doing an intro event so that you can experience it firsthand. We're also on Facebook under Melt Method, and you can click on the fan page and fan Melt Method. We're always sending out good information. I write a blog every week.
So, great.
Lots of info for
Sue,
people.
Sue, can you go to Facebook, like my show, The Kim Pagano Show, so I can share you with everyone?
I am going to do that right now.
All right. I love it. Stay in touch with me. I love what you do. And thanks so much for being my guest.
Thank you so much for having me on the show, Kim. Good to talk to you.
You too. All right. Stay with us. You are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. We are going to, let's right now give away a gift certificate to Urban Cafe. And they are located Ventura, Oxnard, San Diego, Valencia, Agora Hills, and San Luis Obispo. And I've got one for number 7. Caller at 805-419-0008. That's 805-419-0008. Caller number 7. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show.
Grow your business by advertising in Ventura's only hometown newspaper, the Ventura Breeze, by reaching our highly target audience at affordable prices. Your ad will be read by thousands of residents, business owners, and visitors who are ready to become your customers. And mention KVTA to receive an upgrade to color for no additional cost. To be included in the next issue of the Ventura Breeze, contact us at advertising@venturabreeze.com or 653-0791.
I'm a lifelong Ventura County resident, and I hate to admit it, but I'm guilty of something, and I'm guilty of being what you call a hair jumper. And what that means is that I'm not really loyal to any one particular barber, stylist, or hair cutter, and that also means my hair doesn't always look as good or as great as it could. Until that is, I met Kim Pagano, the one and only hair therapist of Westlake Village. Now, I wasn't a believer until I got up from her chair and saw the magic she did on this head of hair, and I know she's gonna do the same for you. So give her a call, 818-612-0832. That's 818-612-0832. She's gonna change your life. She's gonna change the life of your hair, and she's gonna end your days as a hair jumper. Give Kim Pagano, the hair therapist of Westlake Village, a call. It's 818-612-0832.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And I do want to remind you that we do have the Comic-Con, the Ventura Central Coast Comic-Con coming here to the Seaside Park of Ventura County.
Next weekend.
I know. Yeah. And so we got, we're doing tickets. If you don't win them on my show, go to my Facebook, The Kim Pagano Show. Like it, share it, and you'll be entered there. But we do have one of the artists coming on right now, and Kip Muzat is our guest right now. Kip, are you there?
I think so. Can you hear me?
Yes, I am. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. And so you are an electrical engineer, self-taught artist, and you are going to be there this next weekend, correct?
That is correct. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Like you said, I'm an electrical engineer, and that's sort of how I got myself through college and, you know, got established in the world, I guess. But I've always really kind of wanted to do art, but never really had that chance. And a few years ago, I think it was like 2008 or so, I had done this painting, you know, just, and at that time it was a hobby. And it was right after Comic-Con that I had done this painting and stuck it on my wall. And one of my friends was like, you know, where'd you buy that? And, you know, I'm like, what do you mean? He was like, well, what artist did you get that from? I'm like, that's my work. And he's like, dude, you ought to be selling your work. So
I love that.
You know, that was one of my first couple, like, really good fantasy pieces, you know, when I say really good, that I got serious about. And, well, now here I am. You know, I went to 17 conventions last year. I have 20 on the books for this year, you know, confirmed. I didn't make it to San Diego Comic-Con this year. I was there last year. But this year, the guy I was sharing a tip with, they canceled, you know, they needed more room or something. Yeah, that happens, whatever.
Yeah, you know, hey, you know what, you're always in the right place where you're supposed to be. That's what I believe in, you know?
And it was really weird because I didn't do as good as you'd think at San Diego because it was so huge that you don't get that, you know, people just walk by and they only have so much time.
Yeah.
And at the size of convention that's going to be up in Ventura, that's actually really a sweet spot for me because it's not like, you know, only 100 people coming through, which sometimes you do get at those, sometimes you don't. But I've been watching this as Chris, you know, the organizer's been putting this on. I'm like, this is going to be pretty big. But it's not going to be San Diego huge where it's going to be too big. It's going to be just the right amount of critical mass of people coming through there to help support the artists and whatnot and the creators. And so I'm really, that size of comic convention is something that I do really well at. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, you know, we do really good things in Ventura, I have to tell you. I mean, they have a huge turnout. So what is your what's your inspiration for doing this?
Well, a lot of it's like I said, I do a lot of fantasy art. You know, I'm more of a fantasy. I like fantasy more than say sci-fi, and there's like a really fine line between there. As far as but sci-fi, you know, you don't have magic as far as I'm concerned. As soon as you have that magic element, then it sort of becomes science fiction, fantasy, whatever. But I tend to more like, you know, girls with swords and monsters and guys in armor and stuff like that. I have done some, you know, space fantasy paintings, but a lot of the inspiration I get is just I'll have an idea or something like a concept I want to relate. You know, I had like this Dungeons and Dragons character, and it started out as she actually was my banner girl for a while. But I played Dungeons and Dragons a while back, but I haven't had time. But I was like, you know, what would be a good painting to do? I'm like, oh yeah, my character from that one campaign I played in, and it's like because I knew kind of how the character was, and so it gave me a lot of really good ideas of why I could put her in this pose because it had a meaning behind it. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't just painting another pretty face.
Right.
And now, so I try and get a lot of stuff like that, like and get inspired from an idea or something, or just that looks really cool. I should try doing something like that.
Wow, I love it. I just want to remind anybody that's just tuning in right now that you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. We are talking about the Central Coast Comic Con right here, September 7th and 8th at the main event, Seaside Park. And then they got the pre-party Friday night, September 6th, and we've got tickets to give away. And also, you can always go to www.VenturaComicCon.com to get tickets. And we are talking right now to Kip. How do you pronounce your last name, Musat?
You got it right.
Oh, I got it good. All right. Anyways, and you are going to be there. What do people that have never gone to Comic-Con, what do they expect?
Well, a lot of them, like my mother thinks they're art shows.
Okay.
And so a lot of people, you know, they have no idea, and a lot of them are very different. If they were going to there and they have never been to one before, you're going to see some art. You know, you're going to see some different kinds of art. Some people are going to do like really good sketch art. Some people are going to do like Superman and Batman, and then you'll see some stuff you have no idea what it is, because it's more of the stuff I do is my own creation, and I do a lot of what we'll call fan art. You know, like I'll sketch Iron Man or paint Iron Man, whatever. But a lot of what I try and do is like come up with my own stuff. You know,
so
there's
Kip,
another guy,
I have a question for you. Okay, not to cut you off right there, but got four kids. Okay, I've got one that is always doing cartoon kid. You know,
yep.
And maybe he gets in trouble at school. Were you that kind of kid?
I was, and it was really kind of weird because when I was younger in third grade, I liked drawing airplanes, and so I would draw lots of airplanes. And then in fourth grade, and I tell the story every now and then on my friends on Facebook, but our fourth grade teacher, Mr. Nelson, did not like art, apparently. And when I would get done with my studies, I would start sketching, and I would get in trouble.
Yes.
He's like, you can't do that. And I'm like, well, why not? He goes, well, I don't want you to do that. So what if I want to be an artist someday? Oh, don't worry, you won't.
Yeah, really
like,
inspirational.
You know, I'm sorry,
yeah.
You know what? Guess what, Mr. Nelson? You know, here I am. Hello.
I know, and you're getting paid for doing what you love. And
look,
how cool is that? That is awesome.
It is the best feeling in the world, you know.
Wow.
And it's like can I tell an anecdote here?
Yeah.
Some like really cool inspiration. One of the best couple of experiences I've had actually have been out in the Phoenix Comic Con area. When I was at Phoenix, I have a really big following out in Arizona now that I started going out there. I've had people come up, and there was a young kid and he must have been in high school, and it was the very first sketch in a sketchbook I had ever done for anybody. You know, I just started, it was probably only like my fifth or sixth convention I'd ever done. And someone's like, could you sketch this in my sketchbook? And I'm like, sure. You know, could you leave it here for a little bit? You know, it'll take some time. And I'm like, I don't know what he wants. And I'm like, yeah, just Iron Man or something. I'm like, okay. You know, and I'm looking through the sketchbook, and there's like Stephen Rude and Bob Layton and Jamie Kendall and all these other like guys that have been doing stuff for like Bob Layton. Been doing like Iron Man for 40 years. And I'm like, you want me to sketch in your sketchbook? Sure, whatever. Okay. So I did. And I did, you know, I took some time and I wanted to make it look really good. And I sketched something in this kid's book. And he was so happy. And just to see the look on his face.
Isn't that,
wow, now,
yeah. You know what? I think it gives you hope. I mean, even as a mom, I have to tell you, you know, each one of my children have their own gifts. And I think this just gives them permission to be who they are. Now, do you have children? Are you married?
No, I'm single.
Okay.
But,
wait, we got to put that out there. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
So.
I'm single. Yeah, and, you know, I was talking to one of my friends, Tony. She's, like, my partner in crime and a lot of this stuff. And we were talking about, you know, like, what do I date and what, you know, I need to improve my social scene and this and that. I mean, you know, we were talking the other day on the phone, and I went, you know, actually, I do go out a lot. I said, if you think about it, I say I don't have a social life, but I go out every 3 weeks. It's called conventions, and I'm with the people I want to be with. And I'm like, you know, it totally put a wholly different perspective on my life. I'm like, I actually do go out. I think about it that way.
There you,
you know,
go.
So
I love it. Sounds like you know, it's cool. You got to where you are. You know, you enjoy life. That's what this show's all about. I can't wait to meet you again. Give us all the details for next Saturday and Sunday.
Well, like you said on the thing there's going to be a pre-party Friday night, and then I think I'm at booth. I'm doing this from memory. I think it's B8 and B10. I have two tables.
Okay.
So because I have so much stuff, I have grown more than one table now.
I love it. I can't wait to meet you. So, I can't wait to see your stuff.
Well, we're going to be out there, and I do little, and you're talking about like doing cartoons. I do cartoon sketches. I just sketch little anime cartoons of people. You know, not like caricatures. I won't call them caricatures because they don't look dorky, and like I'm not making giving a big nose. But I do like a little anime style of like somebody wants to sketch if they're them, or sketch me as Batman but in anime. Okay, I can kind of do that.
Sounds
good.
Sounds.
I can do original sketches or
okay.
I have my paintings and my prints, and I have like iPhone 4, Galaxy 3 phone cases that I put my art on, and I do lots of different stuff.
All right. Well, again, let's go to the Comic-Con this weekend, Central Coast Comic-Con, and go find Kip out there, and we will be looking for you. I'm excited to give away tickets to this great event right here in Ventura. So thank you so much, Kip, for being a guest.
Thank you so much, Kip, for having me. Pleasure's all mine.
You got it. All right. Well, we are just going to move right on to our next guest. And we've got Kathy Margolin, and she is the founder of Pacific Herbs and a doctor of Oriental Medicine. I think that a lot of my friends need you out there. So, Kathy, are you there?
I am. Hi, Kim.
Welcome to my show.
Thank you.
We talk about anything that can add value to our lives. And I know you talk about, a lot of menopause, and I call it menopause and menopause. So I always tell my husband, he's like, honey, you're going to have another hot flash. And I'm looking at him going, so are you going through menopause? You know, so, you know, it's we all go through it. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, right? So talk
That's
to
so
us.
True. There. Absolutely.
Exactly.
In medicine, andropause is also part of the aging, natural aging process, so men and women.
Wow. So tell us a little bit about what you do, who you are, and how you can help us.
Okay. Well, as you said, I've studied traditional Chinese medicine, and I'm predominantly an herbalist at heart, but I love all forms of natural healing. And I teach women and men how to really balance their bodies for optimum health. So I do that with teaching about diet, certainly lifestyle, and how to bring herbs into your life so that you can have optimum health. And I started my company, Pacific Herbs, as a result of all of this teaching and loving the herbal side of things. I work with mostly traditional Chinese herbs, but I also have, throughout my life, worked with Western herbs as well. And really, I found traditional Chinese medicine is the oldest medicine on earth, and I love that they combine herbs to make formulas for optimum health.
Hmm.
So instead of just using one or two herbs, traditional Chinese medicine has always used a combination of herbs that they know synchronistically work best together. And that's been a process that has been studied for, well, thousands of years now.
So, Kathy, I see you talk about Asian diet, and I'm always trying. I mean, a lot of people are trying to lose weight and follow a good diet. What is an Asian diet?
Good question. You know, it's a little bit similar to the Mediterranean diet that's been in the news for so many years, eating lots of vegetables, eating a little less meat, certainly less dairy. But Asian diet is a little bit more than that. Also consider the variety of foods. Asians eat a larger variety of foods than I think any other culture in the
well,
world.
You know what's so weird is, okay, so on most diets you can't eat white rice. That's the first thing they eat. And how does that work?
Well, I don't look at it as just white rice. I always look at that as, again, the combination. So the rice is a starch, and eating a little starch or carbs are obviously very good for us, you know, provide quick energy. But we're, you know, want to eat that along with a little bit of meat and a lot of vegetables and a lot of herbs, a lot of spices.
Love
you know,
spices,
and it's
yeah.
the mix of those that really make the difference.
Oh, so that's interesting. So how would somebody follow an Asian diet?
Well, there's a couple good ways to follow it, and there's one more point I want to make about it, which is that the Asian diet also inherently looks at the temperature of food. So Americans, we don't really understand that so well, but when you say, you know, eating watermelon on a hot summer's day, that feels good, right?
Right.
So watermelon is a cooling food, so it feels good on a hot day. Oatmeal is a very warming food, so we like to eat oatmeal on a cold winter morning, right?
Right.
So inherently, the Asian culture understands temperatures of foods, and they always consider that in both the time of the year and the weather outside and what the body constitution is like for, you know, let's say, an individual who is overweight, maybe has high blood pressure, they would produce a lot of heat internally. So cooling foods, things like cucumber and melons, watermelon, those kind of, you know, cool seaweed, very cooling food, aloe vera juice, very cooling. Those kind of foods would feel good to a person with a hot constitution.
I like that. Okay. And I do want to remind anybody that's just tuning in right now, we are almost at the end of our show, and I'm so glad that you have been here. We've got, God, we've talked to a lot of people in this small amount of time, but it's awesome. I love it. I love when I can't get everybody. I just like, okay, I'm talking to everybody. So right now we are talking with Kathy Margolin, and she's the founder of Pacific Herbs and doctor of Oriental Medicine, and you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. So Kathy, so, I mean, what about PMS and menopause? Talk to us about that. You wrote a book about that, right?
I did. I wrote a book called Stop Your Bitching Naturally,
okay.
The Step-by-Step Guide to Balance Your Hormones and End PMS and Menstrual Cramps. And even though it's kind of fun, catchy title, it really is quite a serious book. I talk about all the different ways to balance your hormones naturally. And because young girls and older women going through, whether it's PMS when you're young and then menopause as you age, really those symptoms are a result of unbalanced hormones. So there's things both, you know, that we're eating, we're drinking, that are affecting our hormones greatly, especially in society today with the amount of chemicals we're exposed to. You know, everything from the water we're drinking in plastic water bottles because of, you know, plastic water bottles made with BPA is a plastic that's actually an endocrine-disrupting, you know, chemical, to things like sunscreen that we're putting on our bodies. So that cream, especially with this new nanotechnology of sunscreen, the creams absorb very, very quickly, go right into our bloodstream, and have chemicals in them that can disrupt your hormones.
Yeah, there's so many again, things that you have to take into account. I mean, it's hard to know
exactly
what's right or wrong.
It's
go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you know, exactly, so many people really aren't thinking about even small things. Like I teach women and my clients about even handling cash register receipts and then eating. So what, you know, you see this all the time. Somebody goes and buys a little snack at, let's say, a 7-Eleven, a health, you know, a little convenience store, and the next thing they're doing is eating it with their hands. Well, you've just touched a cash register receipt with a BPA chemicals on it. And again, those are hormone-disrupting chemicals.
Wow.
And then you're eating with your hands. You've got to wash your hands before you eat with them. It's something we don't think about, but we should.
Yeah, I mean, we really should. Now, what about those sanitizing things? I mean, people say that we're, like, so over-sanitized, but you're saying, is it just simple washing?
Yeah, I don't really recommend those so much. I mean, they kill a lot of, you know, bacteria and all. I mean, if you're kind of crazy about it, yeah, it's fine. I just say wash your hands before you eat, especially if you're going to eat with your hands, and especially if you've been out shopping or touched any of those kinds of receipts, because we know that there's chemicals on them. We know those chemicals are dangerous, and we just don't want to ingest them.
Right, right. So leave us with, we have a couple minutes, leave us with some great tips and how we find out about you and where do we get in touch with you.
Okay. Well, I mean, I teach so many different things about, you know, a skinny diet and the Asian diet. We have a product called Skinny Boost because we really want to promote not just healthy eating and lifestyle, but actually healthy digestion and healthy elimination. So people can find out about the products at pacherbs.com. It stands for Pacific Herbs, so pacherbs.com. And I like to tell my clients to really focus an awareness on what they're eating every single day, because it's not enough. I think there's so much teaching about knowing that there's a good diet out there or knowing certain foods are better than other foods, the junk food, right, versus, you know, fast food versus, you know, home-cooked meal. But it's not enough to just know. We actually really need to consciously do it. And so whatever that it is for you every single day, think about how you're going to make that happen. Because I know so many people talk about it and read books about it and, you know, watch television shows about how to cook or how to eat healthy, but then they don't put that into practice in their everyday life.
Wow.
So really consciously think about how you're going to do it. And if that means write it down and take the simple steps, start going shopping, start making a meal plan, whatever it is to change your habits to a healthier habit.
And I think what you're talking about is a food journal, and I've actually started to do that. When you actually see what you're putting into your mouth, you understand why you're either getting heavy or why you're losing weight. So
yeah, I tell all my clients, food journal, absolute must. Because exactly. And you don't realize the small variety of foods you eat until you start writing it down.
Exactly.
I challenge my clients to just add one new food to their diet every week.
There you
one
go.
One a week. Just
Kathy,
go shopping and pick up something different.
Right. We are at the end of our show. I'd love to have you back because there's so many herbs that I really want to find out about and so much more information. And it sounds like you've got a lot to talk about. So I would love to have you back again.
Thank you.
Kathy Margolin, and she is a Pacific Herbs and Doctor of Oriental Medicine. Sean, are you exhausted?
We slingshot that
I know, show. Tom, we did it. Okay, and really great talks and great advice, and that's what it's all about here on the Kim Pagano Show. Again, I'm so glad that you spent some time with us. If there's anybody that you want to know more about, you can always email me at kim@kimpaganoshow.com. Good luck to my winners out there. Again, definitely check out next Saturday and Sunday at the Seaside Park, the Center Coast Comic-Con. We got lots to – it's like – I mean, you're excited about – this is like –
Oh, yeah, I'll be there for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I'll be there too. And, again, we've got the pre-party Friday night, September 6th. It's all over my Facebook, so definitely check it out. You've been listening to The Kim Pagano Show. Of course, I end all of my shows with a life lift. And to change a habit, make a conscious decision, and then act out your new behavior. So with that, you've been listening to The Kim Pagano Show, and I'll talk to you next week. Have a really great one.
What's wrong with the world, mama? People living like they ain't got no mamas. I think the whole world's addicted to the drama, only attracted to things that'll bring the trauma. Overseas